You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS Sports Radio. I am JR, and we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. If you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, Rocket can. Thank you to super producer and host Dave Shepard. Thank you to everybody listening all across North America on our CBS Sports Radio affiliates, of which we have hundreds. People tuned in on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, you can put it for free on your phone, on your tablet. You can listen to CBS Sports Radio anywhere. You can go from the car to the house, from the house to the car, from the car to the job, just wherever the hell you want. SiriusXM channel 158, and everybody tuned in on a smart speaker. We talked about Kobe Bryant. Tuesday, August 23rd, he would have been 44 years old. We showed love. We talked about Nick Saban and his new contract. Nick Saban is 70 years old. He's now going to be coaching until the year 2030, when he will be 78 years old. And he's now the highest paid coach in college football. He's basically getting $500,000 more than Kirby Smart. Nick Saban is like, I'm the big dog here. He's getting paid $11.7 million. And I guess in another 2 years, when a coach comes by and he's making 13, then Nick Saban will say, well, now you got to pay me 14. So let's see what Nick Saban looks like as he continues to age in college football. Speaking of aging, we mentioned Udonis Haslam, 42 years old, will be returning for a 20th season with the Miami Heat. He only played 15 games. The year before that, he only played one. He's a glorified coach at this point. And so let's see. I guess he's going to stick around for 20 and then just leave. And then, of course, the big news that broke on Tuesday morning was the return of Kevin Durant. He got punked. He tried to punk and bully the Brooklyn Nets, and they did not bend. They did not break. And before we even got to training camp, Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets, they sat down in Los Angeles, and the general manager, who he said needed to be fired if he were to return, they all agreed that, hey, we're going to try to run this back and win a championship. And so Kevin Durant got punched in the gut. He got called out, and now he'll be back. And I'm sure when we get to training camp, everyone will just say, oh, yeah, well, these things happen, and we're focused on winning a championship, and they're just going to kind of sweep it under the rug. Are they going to be the favorites to win a title? I do not think so. Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, find me the leader. Yeah, good luck. I think they can go to the East Finals. Damn it, I think they can go to the NBA Finals if they're healthy. But I'm going to get to more of your calls. And then speaking of a leader, you know, before the show is up, I want to talk about Russell Wilson. I want to talk about the AFC West. We had a caller last night. He was effusive about Russell Wilson, saying that Russell was the most disrespected quarterback currently in the NFL. Isn't Russell Wilson a leader? Maybe he can go give the Nets some tips. We'll get there as well. And then Aaron Judge is just continuing to destroy a baseball. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is just running around apologizing. And by the way, he's going to have another surgery. I'll fill you in on all of these things. Let's get to more of your calls here on Mr. Durant. We got Eric calling from Green Bay. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, JR? How's it going, man?
I'm terrific. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, before I get into Kevin Durant, I just got to say one thing. I think people are missing the actual point, and that is that Steve Kerr is the best coach in the NBA right now, by far.
Okay.
And until Steve Kerr and the Warriors' core is done, I think they are going to be the one seed throughout. I mean, if it weren't for a catastrophic injury, okay, they would have won six titles out of the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
so that has to be said.
Okay. Well,
now, as far as Kevin Durant goes, I feel bad for that dude, man. He won two straight NBA Finals MVPs with the Warriors, and all anybody could talk about was how he's never going to be considered one of the greats until he goes and does it on his own somewhere else. And unfortunately, he wasn't strong enough to ignore the national narrative and ignore it and just stay put. They would have won. I mean, you know, you go win. You know, Bill Russell wasn't looked down upon because he won, 13 or 11 or something with the Celts. I mean, nobody looked down upon him because he didn't go anywhere else. I just think it's unfortunate that Kevin Durant has had to deal with the national narratives that he has. I think it forced him out of Golden State when he really shouldn't have gone anywhere. I mean, that's what created the drama there. And until Steve Kerr's done, the Warriors are not done.
Well, thank you, Eric. You're repeating that. But
yep.
Kevin Durant, he helped contribute to that himself. And on the other hand of things, if you want to look at the team, it wasn't a national narrative that helped divide the Golden State Warriors. It was, I believe, just their personalities. It ran its course. That's just what it is.
It just seemed like there was an awful lot of talk about him not going to ever be considered one of the greats unless he went somewhere else and did it without the Warriors. That's unfortunate. Yeah,
he was a key
member of that team, and he was the best player on that team while he was there.
Well, Eric, we know that, but the fact is he joined a team that was already pretty damn good, and that's more of a reaction to what he did
Takes that away from LeBron.
I'm sorry?
I said takes that away from LeBron.
LeBron
is take that away from Kobe or Shaq or
LeBron James. LeBron James dragged the team with me, you, and Sasha Pavlovich to an NBA Finals.
Well, if you're talking about the one that they won against the Warriors, losing Bogut sure didn't help.
No. Do you know who Sasha Pavlovich is?
I believe I've seen the name, but I'm
yeah.
not.
Well, that's my point. Thank you, Eric, for calling from Green Bay. I mean, nobody wins a championship by themselves. I think that's extremely clear. But Kevin Durant losing to a team that he was ahead of beating and then deciding to join them, he created that. Nobody else created that. That was always going to be the story. Why you just they just beat you, and yeah, he was the best player, but that's his own fault, and he had to know it was coming. He did, and he obviously didn't care because he did it. And then when the going got tough with the team, and the personality started to chirp, and then you got Draymond telling him, "Hey, we didn't need you." That came out of Draymond's mouth, and Kevin Durant left, which is well within his right. Come on, did that seem like a team that was going to stick around and play together for the next 10 years? No, it's almost impossible. And so he left. He went to Brooklyn. And so I don't want to talk about, it's a national narrative that helps do this. No, Kevin Durant made choices, and he had to hear about them. That's just the way the world is. I can't sit here in this seat and say something and then be upset if anybody says anything in response. That's the nature of what the hell I do. That's what he does. He's a super public figure. 855-212-4CBS. Joel is calling from New Orleans. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, JR. How you doing?
Excellent.
Good. I was calling. I think Kevin Durant and them are going to be amazing next year. You're talking about adding Joe Harris back, who was out, would probably be in the starting lineup. That's a 6'7", 220-pound shooting guard you add next to Kyrie and Durant. And with Ben Simmons in the lineup, a power forward that can guard 1 through 5, and then Drummond, you have Ben Simmons who has
Andre Drummond is gone. Andre Drummond is now a member of the Chicago Bulls.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, but if Drummond's gone, they got Claxton, who's a 23-year-old, you know, rising star.
Yes, he is.
So if he gets entered in the starting lineup, that's even better, you know, I think, than Drummond. And but you got Joe Harris who can, and Seth Curry can now come off the bench and play what he's best at, you know, doing his role. And Joe Harris, he was known as a great defender as well. As not only as one of the best three-point shooters. And Ben Simmons, as bad as he's been in some places, if you could pick me two of the best players in the NBA for Ben Simmons to play off of, it'd probably be Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Excellent scorers,
for him
yes.
to be able to kick it out to Kevin Durant when he's driving to the rim, who better to kick it up to him spotting up shooting or Kyrie Irving spotting up shooting? And when he's not, when he doesn't have the ball, he gets to do what he does best, play defense and rebound. And when he does have the ball, and then Kevin Durant and Kyrie are also players that are able to ISO while Ben Simmons, you know, is just being a decoy as much as he can.
Well, I wouldn't call him a decoy. I'd say he'd have to
cut. I know.
He'd have to.
A decoy is a cutter.
Joel, take a breath.
Number three pointers.
Joel, did
yes,
you have you spoken to anyone today? Am I the first person? How many people did you talk to today? A lot?
Yeah, no, you're the first person.
yeah, I can tell, man. It's like, damn, you didn't take a breath.
No, well, I was just – I didn't know how much time I had, so. And then you got Cam Jordan, you know.
Okay, Joel.
Not Cam Jordan.
Thomas.
Cam Thomas, yeah.
He's a guard. No telling how good
he's going to be next year.
Well, correct, Joel. Thank you. Well, now your time is up. Thank you. That was a lot. Damn.
Imagine screening him.
Remember that guy? I can't remember his name from the 80s who just talked a mile a minute. He used to sell it. He did a million commercials, but he did like one for FedEx and 9X, and he was just reminded me of that guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, please take some oxygen, man, please. And I agree with everything that he just said. Everything that he just said. Everything. Are they all going to stay healthy? Kyrie Irving, I think, is going to play. But even when he's healthy, Kyrie Irving is not the biggest guy. He gets knocked around. But I think he's going to be committed. Joe Harris is coming off of an injury. He didn't play last year. You know, Kevin Durant, are we going to expect him to play 80-something games? No. I think you find it a success if he hits you at 60 to 70. He's going to take games off the rest. Ben Simmons, God knows what happens with him. Is he going to be fully recovered from his back? It could be hit or miss. Yeah, if they're healthy, yeah, they are deep as hell. Dave is calling from Buffalo. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. Appreciate taking my call tonight, man. I think, you know, it's one thing that they kind of kissed and made up. But I think you look at this, the front office and – you know, obviously Steve Nash and Durant. To me, I think the Nets did this because I think the Nets found out there was not much of a trade market for him. And I think Durant, you know, where they were going to try to trade him to, Durant didn't want to go there. And I think they had no choice to kind of get back together. I think it seems phony to me. I think, you know, this is a very talented team, but not a very cohesive team. And, yeah, they might win a round or two in the playoffs, but to go really deep and win a championship – I just don't see it with this team.
Well, that's true. Now, let's also be honest here. We have had teams that have had success, and everybody didn't always get along. From a player's perspective, from players to management, you don't always have to get along to have success. And I think that holds true for many of relationships throughout the course of life. Are you better equipped to have success if you're on the same page? Sure. But as long as you know what you need to do when you go to work, you don't have to like the person or the people you're working with. You just have to know how to do it.
Yeah, there's no question. That's absolutely true. During the hours when you work together, I just think, to me, you look at the Eastern Conference, I think there's teams that are much more together. And
sure.
I think, you know, in the NBA, we've seen with these super teams, it doesn't always work that way, and I feel like they've got some nice pieces, but I don't know, like you mentioned, Udonis Haslem. I don't know if they have a veteran presence that can really keep this team together, and I think the question is, too, is Irving going to play 82 games or close to it? We know
no.
Durant is not going to, and Ben Simmons, to me, is the wild card in the whole thing. Where is his mind at? Where is his game at? You know, he's playing point guard in the biggest city in the world where he thought it was tough in Philly, and Philly's a notoriously tough market.
His role, and thank you, David. Ben Simmons' role, I think, obviously, is not going to be the same as it was in Philadelphia. You know, he's going to handle the basketball. But is he going to be point guard number one? Is he going to be point option number one? No, he's not. He's not. He's going to play more of a forward role. He's going to get rebounds. He's going to try to push the ball on the break. He's going to play defense. He's going to cut to the basket. You know, if he's open, they will yell at his ass to shoot it. And will he be the same player or will he evolve? It's going to be an easier route. Yeah, it's going to be easy. I wish I was playing ball with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. I'd be cutting for layups and kicking it out. I think this is going to be a beautiful thing for him. If there is an ideal situation, it would be something like this. It really would. Richie's calling from Houston. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, my man?
I'm very well. What's going on?
I think that they're going to be – I think they really could have a cohesive unit. I don't like Ben Simmons. I'm a Sixers fan. But I really think they could pull this together. The thing that's bothering me the most is that now that all these players have decided that they can change it and try and force a trade and do whatever else, Durant was finally told no. And I think that's going to help the NBA because now these players can't decide, hey, this is where I want to go. You signed this contract for $200 million. Well, I don't like the way you're doing it now. I want to leave. But the Nets will have a very solid team. I think so.
Yeah, I believe so as well. And you're correct. Whenever the next CBA is up, they're going to have some adjustments, man. They're going to try to enforce this. They're going to use this as a case study as to why we need to adjust contracts. If you want to move, then you're going to have to give some money up. That your contract, which is guaranteed if you see it out. Like, this is the one thing that players have to accept. Yeah, you can have all the power in the world. And yes, we know teams can trade players at their whim when they want. The top players will always have leverage. They always will. Well, in the case of Kevin Durant, he tried to push that button a little too much. James Harden has pushed that button too much. And we've reached, I think, the breaking point. You can't have guys just calling all the shots. You're getting paid all this money. You can't just determine every single thing. You can't do it. Artist here from Arizona. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Man, my dear JR, man.
Long time, Art. Where you been?
Man. They've been working me, dog.
Okay.
But just because I ain't calling in don't mean I ain't listening.
Well, thank you.
I listen all the time. You done changed. Well, they changed up on me down here where I'm at. I got to go to the Odyssey app, I believe.
Okay, well, that's great. You can always listen.
Okay, but I used to catch you on the local radio station down here, but the CBS thing. But anyway, man, one thing, and you gonna film me on this about KD, man. When you try to be the bad guy, you always get wrote out the script. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I said a few months ago, I love the fact that he was embracing being the bad guy, and then he pushed it into being a complete jerk about it.
Yeah. He had motion, but then he blew it. Like ever since he left Oklahoma City, he already had a bad rap when he left OKC and went to the Warriors after the Warriors whooped they butt. You know what I mean? But it's like he got game, man. I love KD. Been watching him since he was in Texas, man. Matt Barnes. Coached him. That's one of my favorite players. Anyway, but he talked too much, man. Stay off them burner accounts. Stop trying to make it seem like you can do what you feel. You ain't dealing with them people in Oklahoma City. You ain't dealing with them people in Golden State. Golden State don't need you. Oklahoma City, your contract was up just about. So you just jumped ship, but you done signed to a man worth a gazillion dollars. So it's like, this man's not going to budge for you, man. You know what I mean? It's a business to him. This is an asset. But KD got a game. But then another thing.
Yes.
I don't think they'll get past the second round.
Okay.
Well,
let me say this, Art. I appreciate you, man. I got to get ready to hit the break here. If you think the Brooklyn Nets can go to the second round, why can't they go further? man, I can't fast forward all the way until, you know, May here or April and May. I can't do that. It's too much. Why not? If they're that good, I mean, to go to the second round, why wouldn't they be able to advance past that? We can't predict injuries. I hate to say this, but injuries in some way, form, or fashion, they help shape the playoffs every year. Look at Kevin Durant in Golden State in Toronto. Let's be real, and my apologies to everyone in Canada who will hate my guts. I love Toronto. If Klay Thompson was healthy out there, Kevin Durant was healthy out there, would Toronto still have won the championship? And I can say that for many a teams. Yes, and absolutely. But come on now. Injuries have an effect. The Milwaukee Bucks this year, what will they have looked like if Chris Middleton was running around? Every year. It's hard to predict. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to leave these phone lines open. I want to talk to you about Russell Wilson. Since we're talking about a leader, we'll talk about Russell Wilson. We'll get into the AFC West. We'll talk about Aaron Judge. He's out here trying to break all types of records. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, JR, man? I want to first by saying I love the show and thank you for keeping the show real on so many different topics.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to leave the phone lines open. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We have the country represented right now. Massachusetts and Oregon, Cleveland, Maryland. If you want to give me a holler, if you're on the line, we'll definitely get you on. Just wait momentarily, okay? And shout outs to Atlanta as well. You know, we talked about Kevin Durant returning to Brooklyn, not by choice, really no choice at all. And then I said, you take a look at the Brooklyn Nets, who the hell is the leader? It ain't Durant. He wanted the bail. It ain't Ben Simmons. He hasn't even played a minute. We know he ain't a leader. He's a quitter. And then we got Kyrie Irving. We know he's also a quitter, or he's just a guy who changes his mind as the wind blows. Although he'll be available this year. He's in a contract season. He's trying to get his money. Is he still going to miss games, nagging injuries here and there? Yeah, that's what he's always done throughout the course of his career. But if we want to talk about a leader, you know, last night, we talked about quarterbacks. Derek Carr has basically been a punching bag. And then so I posed the question to you all, who is the most disrespected quarterback currently in the NFL? And one of our callers, he said Russell Wilson. And his reasoning, he's like, oh, well, Nick Wright and Ryan Clark. I'm like, okay, well, that means he's the most disrespected? What about consensus? And I told him, just don't listen to jackasses. If I'm thinking about consensus most disrespected, I'm not thinking about, oh, two guys on TV said it, and so the whole world must feel that way. A matter of fact, we have that call, and he had a lot of reasons why Russell is the most disrespected. Listen to this if you missed it from last night.
The most disrespected quarterback in the league is Russell Wilson. I'll give you a bunch of reasons why. People, first of all, make up a lot of fake narratives about him in terms of his off-the-field exploits. And, you know, they call him corny and things. And, you know, I get it. I understand some of the things that he does may be kind of cheesy or whatever, but he's also a good citizen off the field. On the field, his being tucked away in Seattle and playing for a run-first, defense-oriented coach like Pete Carroll, that has hurt him.
Yeah, we know that. The man has wanted to throw the football forever. He also happens to be one of the best deep pass throwers that the league has seen. He's been playing behind a shoddy offensive line recently up in Seattle. There's also times where he's decided to be Superman all the time, and he's been sacked as a result of it. Now, having said that, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Is he Aaron Rodgers? No. No, he's not. Is he Patrick Mahomes? No. No, he's not. But he's a winner. And sure, when he won his earlier championships, it was predicated on defense. It was predicated on a run game. As things evolved and the Legion of Boom actually dissolved, and speaking of the Legion of Boom, shout-outs to Richard Sherman. He actually just retweeted a message that I shared on Twitter. You can check it out at JR Sport Brief. It's related to Kobe Bryant, but I digress. Russell Wilson, it became his team over time. But then he also wanted to sling the ball around. He also played in a competitive division. And so am I going to call him the most disrespected QB in the game? No, I'm not. Okay? Because he's not the only quarterback. There are guys who just get beat up more in the court of public opinion than Russell Wilson. If I got to think about the most disrespected guy in the NFL who plays quarterback, everybody has their detractors. But if I have to line it up and weigh it, it's still Lamar. And you want to talk about Russell Wilson being corny? Listen, he has some of his own teammates. Some of his own teammates just didn't always appreciate him because it was a matter of, hey, we got the teacher's pet over here. And so, yeah, there's on-field and off-field, but he's still good. There are plenty of teams that would love to have Russell Wilson as their quarterback. And the Denver Broncos are one of them. That's why they brought him in. And he's had his moments. Can we forget when he joined the Broncos and they were filming him for, you know, some of those in-stadium promos, social media promos, and they just wanted him to say, let's ride, and he just, I don't know, just take a listen for yourself.
Let's ride.
Broncos.
Let's ride.
Perfect. Okay. One more time, Broncos country, let's ride.
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Yeah, for a guy like me who talks for a living, you want to give a variety when you have to record those type of things. I've also produced things like that, and it's just like, okay, sure. And people are making fun of him because it's Russell Wilson. Well, it was only a few years ago in 2019 when he got his contract extension. And this guy was laying in bed with his wife, Sierra, and he decided to post a video just, you know, talking about how great it is to, I guess, be paid and celebrate. Listen.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
That made me feel uncomfortable.
Come on, man. You're lying in bed with Sierra. You don't have to say anything else for the rest of your life.
Yes! That made me feel listening to that made me feel uncomfortable, man.
And listening to that made me say, I got to get a life.
Well, I mean, I can make a couple of calls. I mean, Sierra's from here in Atlanta. I can find you similar.
Well, Jay, I don't mess with families. I don't break homes in that regard. But I will say, JR,
I'm not saying I'm giving you Sierra.
Got it. But JR, come
on. Saying you can come here to Georgia, and I, you know.
Well, thank you. But JR, you have to admit, when you are Russell Wilson. And you are paid in the fashion in which he is, and you have the Super Bowl success that he has, and you were married to one of the world's most beautiful human beings that we have ever laid eyes on. You don't have to say anything else for the rest of your life. You have nothing to prove to nobody but yourself.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Thank you.
What he wants to do is now win a Super Bowl by throwing a football. That's what he wants to do.
He's got many years to do so.
Well, he does, but we know it's fickle. You know, you can be great at the quarterback position, you can be awesome, and you can be the driver, but it's not necessarily a guarantee. It's not a birthright that a quarterback can go out there and just deliver a championship. Ask Dan Marino. We know that. It takes 53 guys. It takes 53 phases, or not 53 phases. It takes three phases of a team, offense, defense, and special teams, to go out there and get the job done. And, yeah, Russell is he going to have some options here. You know, maybe he can help elevate Jerry Jeudy finally. Maybe Cortland Sutton. I know as much as he doesn't want to look at a run game, he has two of the best in Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. Maybe Javonte can go ahead and completely take over. The defense has absolutely amazing safeties, even though they lost Fuller, I believe, is now gone. So they got a squad. But the AFC West is tough. You know, Patrick Mahomes will be spreading the ball out. Still have the Raiders. Derek Carr is still trying to go out there and prove himself every day is something new for the poor guy. And then obviously you have the Bolts. They can't suck forever with Justin Herbert. It just logic says eventually they're not going to be choke artists. And so, yeah, can Russell Wilson go out and win another championship? Sure, it wouldn't surprise me if it happened. It just is not going to be easy. These championships are not a birthright. And let's be clear. This conference or this division has four great teams. All four of these teams are not going to the playoffs. And, I mean, are the Broncos going to be the best of them? I don't think the Broncos are going to be the best in the AFC West. I would still go ahead and say I'd go with the Chiefs at number one, even with their changes. Valdez Scantling coming in and also Juju Smith-Schuster. And then you got the Raiders. I mean, they're known to choke. The Bolts are going to be good. They're all going to be good. They're going to cannibalize each other. But I'm not throwing the Broncos in. If I had to say who do I not think is going to finish number one in that division, it'd be the Broncos. What do you say? I'm going to take your calls on the other side. 855-212-4CBS. We got a lot of people who want to talk Durant, Broncos, Russell. We got you covered. We'll even get into a superstar in Aaron Judge.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
First time caller and listener. I'm loving the show. Your show is just absolutely outstanding.
I got to tell you, I've been listening to you. And I've been feeling and agreeing with your flow.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
The JR Sport Brief show, CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking about Kevin Durant. We've been talking about Russell Wilson. One of our callers absolutely loved him last night. He said Russell Wilson is the most disrespected quarterback in the NFL. I'm like, spare me, okay? Spare me. He's good. He's one of the best quarterbacks. He's looking to make his mark by leading a team to a Super Bowl as the feature star, something that he hasn't been able to do in his career. And he's had an absolutely hell of a career. He's been durable. He's been available. He's been a winner. He's had winning seasons, and he's just there. Oh, reliable. Is he a perfect quarterback? No. But there are a lot of teams that would love to have him, and the Denver Broncos do. Now that they have him there, that doesn't all of a sudden just skyrocket them into contention. They have a new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. Have a young squad. Russell is going to be tasked with leading the way. And the Broncos are going to be good. They'll have a winning record. Are they going to win? I don't know. Are they going to go 10-7? I think that would be a good season for the Denver Broncos. Are they going to get into the playoffs? I think they'll be kind of right there on the bubble. But four teams from the AFC West ain't going. And if I had to take a look at the team that probably has the worst chance of doing so, somehow, some way. The Chargers always, they blow it, right? They do. They find a way. That can't be the case. Justin Herbert is going to wake up this season and maybe he's legitimately competing for an MVP. For whatever reason, also, side note, Keenan Allen doesn't get the love that he deserves, but I digress. Somewhere between the Bolts, the Broncos, and the Raiders, something crazy always happens. So let's see. But out of all the teams to win the AFC West, I'd say the Broncos probably have the worst chance. Let's see if they prove me wrong. What do you say? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Donald is calling from Cleveland. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
JR, how are you doing this evening?
Good.
Good. Hey, let me ask you something. Everything you've thrown down tonight about Russell Wilson, really respect it. But when you say all what you say is, do you think that Russell Wilson was ever really the leader in all of that at Seattle? Do you think that he can lead and be that for the Broncos?
Did you ask me a question another question at the end, or did you make a statement?
No. It's all in one. What I'm asking is, like, what you're saying, like, before, all valid points about Russell Wilson, but, like, was he ever really a leader at Seattle, or was it more?
I mentioned that it became more of his team, without a doubt or a question, when guys, strong personalities, guys like Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, those guys just.
Legion of Boom, right.
Yeah,
Was it more Pete Carroll? Was it more Marshawn Lynch? Was it more Richard Sherman in the back?
Oh, my God. Donald, I'm answering you, and I think I made that statement prior to you calling. I said that this team won. They won a championship. And as Russell Wilson, as his career at Donald. Damn, Donald. Sheesh, slow down. You still there?
I'm here. I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Yeah, I know. You're talking too much. I'm trying to answer you. I mentioned before you joined, I said, this was a team that won a championship with a strong defense. Russell Wilson wasn't out there slinging the rock around when they were winning titles. As those guys left the team and Russell Wilson became the focal point of the squad, I think without a shadow of a doubt, because he's the quarterback and because of his personality, and even as much as he wanted to be quote-unquote released and be allowed to cook more, it was his team. Did they find and have success? No, they did not. They were still in the transitional period, I believe, even now that he's been sent over to Denver. And so, yes, was he the leader? Yeah. Were they going anywhere? Hell no. That's why he's in Denver right now.
Right. So do you think, like, maybe with a first-year head coach, offensive coordinator from the Packers, maybe a little bit more to, like, an Aaron Rodgers? What's your transition on that?
Well, I believe that he is going to throw the football more. I just told you about the two running backs that they have, so at least he'll have some balance there. He may not be all that thrilled with Gordon and Javonte having to share the rock, but he's going to sling it around. And so I think he is going to have success. Is it going to be enough success to get them into the playoffs where they'll make some noise? I'm not so sure about that. Sean is calling from Oregon. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm right behind you, JR, on that. You know, Russell Wilson, you ain't going to find a better leader. As a positive person, I live outside Portland. I've watched about every Seahawk game. We get force-fed the Seahawk games around here, and he's great. But he also gets sacked a lot, and he's on course to be the most sacked quarterback in history. And with his style, you know, he's a lot different than Aaron Rodgers. You can't compare him to anybody, really. I mean, he's got his own style, and if you let him cook and he starts doing stuff and he tries too hard, he could get hurt. Anything could happen to him. I mean, but I'm going to say, you know, Legion of Boom, that was great. In the second Super Bowl, you know, he's the one that threw the football to end the game. He threw it to Malcolm Butler. And you can't blame Pete Carroll for that because Pete didn't throw the ball.
Well, we can still say this. The man dialed up one of the dumbest play calls that the world has ever seen. It takes two to tango. So, yes, we can talk about the gentleman who threw the ball and Russell Wilson, who's at fault. And we can also look at the man who decided to make the play call when you have a bruising running back there ready to just beat the living hell out of everybody. And so, yeah, it takes two to tango. What I will say about this, though, he did play behind a crap offensive line. We had to go through all of those rumors last season about Russell Wilson and needing some input into what the Seahawks do. Why? Because he's been knocked the hell out. He's been one of the most durable quarterbacks that the NFL has ever seen, especially for a guy who's been running around now for the better part of a decade. He did not miss a game until last season when he had his thumb injury. Looking at Russell Wilson on the sidelines made no sense. And so is he going to be running for his life right now for the Denver Broncos? It's to be seen. And by the way, shout-outs to the best guy on their offensive line. I happen to know him. It's my main man, Dalton Reisner. We've had Dalton on the show. Good luck this upcoming season. But this is going to be new. And so is he going to get slapped around with the Broncos as well? Probably. I'm going to say it won't be Dalton's fault. Yeah, I'm just backing up my guy. This is going to be new. Russell Wilson and the Broncos, they will be good. But I ain't expecting them to win anything in year one. Not at all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. I'm going to get some more of your calls. We'll talk Durant. I definitely want to talk Aaron Judge. We got a lot to do here. CBS Sports Radio.